Well, praise God. What a privilege to be here and be able to open God's word for you tonight. If you'll open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 is where we'll be spending the majority of tonight in. And I'd just like to read from Romans chapter 8, and we'll be reading from verses 31 through to 39. I've entitled this message, Are You Persuaded? I just want us to read this through, and we'll see what the Lord will have for us this evening. Romans chapter 8, verses 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'll just pray now and we'll bless the service to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your goodness. Father, I thank you that you are such a loving God to us, Lord, that your love cannot be separated by anything. Father, I thank you for the privilege to be able to open your word tonight. Father, I pray you'd go before me, Lord, in the hearts of your people. Father, I pray you'd give us, Lord, the things that you have for us tonight, Lord, the things that we need. And Father, Lord, we just pray that in everything that is said and done tonight, Lord, that your name would be glorified and that you would be pleased with everything that is done. This we pray in your holy name. Amen. I want to ask a very simple question to us tonight, but a very crucial question. Are you persuaded that nothing can separate you from the love of God? I think probably without me even saying that, if you've been saved for any length of time, it comes straight to your mind and you would say, yes, I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of my God. My salvation is forever. And I think if I were to say that, that would be the echo of the hearts in this room. Would that be about an assessment of how you would view yourself? But what if I were to ask you this then? Prove it. Prove that you are truly and fully persuaded. Prove that your life is a life marked by the fact that nothing can separate you from the love of God. I want us to have a look tonight at how Paul could say these words and say that he is fully persuaded. In verses 38 to 39, we read, this is Paul saying this, For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, this word persuaded literally means to believe. You know, Paul said, I am persuaded, I believe that nothing can separate me from the love of my God. And because of that, I don't have to fear anything that this world throws at me. But what's more than that is Paul didn't just say it, he didn't just feel it in his heart, it changed the way that he lived. You know, he said, you know, I'm persuaded and therefore I'm going to go and do what Christ has called me to do. Because I am fully persuaded, because I fully believe. Because Paul believed in this fact, you know, he was willing to give up all of his dreams for the future. You know, he was willing to go into the uttermost parts of the world and to preach the gospel. You know, he was driven even to give up his own life for Christ's sake. You know, he endured trials and tribulations even when everybody else left him, because he was fully persuaded. I want to ask the question again tonight, church. Are we persuaded of this? Are you persuaded, as it says in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? You know, when things come against us, when the things that we thought were supposed to happen the way we thought they, that how we imagined it, and when that doesn't come to pass, are we still persuaded? You know, when persecution comes, when we're attacked for doing nothing more than trying to serve God with our life, are we still persuaded that God still loves us? You know, in famine and nakedness, even when the things that we need are not met, are we still persuaded? When peril and sword, you know, even when things would come against even our very life, could we still say, I am still fully persuaded that no matter what may come against me, I will do what God has called me to do? We'll read on in verse 38 and 39, where he says, for I am persuaded that neither death, you know, are we so persuaded that when faced with eternity, that no matter what happens, no matter even if it costs me my life, I'm going to do what God has called me to do, because I'm fully persuaded? Am I persuaded in even my life? And even if I haven't measured up, even if I've made mistakes, can I still say, God, I know he loves me, and that's going to change the way I live? He mentions, nor angels. You know, when we're tempted, when we're accused by spiritual forces, beyond even our understanding, when we cause ourselves to question at times, can we say that we are fully persuaded that we still fully believe? Against principalities nor powers. You know, when the government tells us, you know, you cannot do that anymore. You cannot preach the gospel here. You cannot live that way that your God is commanding you to. Who is it that we obey? Do we fear our governments, or do we fear our God? You know, if they can't separate us from the love of God, then why is it that they so easily stop us? Nor things present, nor things to come. You know, is our circumstances what we're thinking might come to pass in this world? There's a lot of talk about war and about economy and all these other things. Are those things stopping us, and the fear of that stopping us from doing what God has called us to do? Nor height, nor depth, no matter where we are, is there anything that can stop us, that can stop the love of Christ for us? If I were to ask you, have these things ever stopped you from doing what God has asked you to do? I think if we're honest, I think all of us could say, you know, at some point in my life, the fear of these things have stopped me from doing what God has asked me to do. And that's completely human. But you know, Paul seems to have found something so convincing, something so persuasive, that it compelled him to not only write these verses, but to back it up by living a life driven by the fact that nothing could separate him from the love of his God. You know, he persuaded so much that he gave up everything, through persecution all the way even to death, because of the love of Jesus meant so much to him that there was, in his mind, there was nothing else, that this was a reasonable service. In Romans 12, verse 1, it says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, he considered it, for the love that Christ had for him, that it was his reasonable service to give up everything that he had. I just want to show us tonight how Paul could be persuaded that nothing could separate us from the love of God. And as we consider that, I want us to give us just some reasons as to how, some things that we can apply in our life to encourage us to be fully persuaded of this also. I think the first and most important thing, though, is that we just simply come back to Scripture. In 2 Peter 1, verse 19, he says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart." You know, this is the writer Peter saying, you know what? I have a more sure word of prophecy. More than anything I have experienced, more than anything I have seen in of myself, we can trust in this book, in the Scripture that God has preserved for us. And so our confidence need to be first and foremost in what God has said and in the promises that he has made. I want us to have a look just here at four in your passage in Romans chapter 8. And the first one I want us to see is in verse 31. The Bible says this, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" First of these things I want us to consider in order to encourage us to be fully persuaded in the love of our God is that our God is for us. He is for us. You know, Paul didn't fear tribulation or distress or persecution or anything that this world could throw at him because he knew that his God was for him. You know, do you know that your God is for you? That no matter what trials or things that come your way, whether you understand them or not, that God is actually using them for your good. That he's using them to build you and to shape you into the image of Christ. You know, I wonder when was the last time, or perhaps how often, we would simply stop worrying about our circumstances or whatever forces would come against us, and we'd simply ask this question, if God be for us, who can be against us? You know, there is nothing too great for our God. He has no rival, no equal. But I think the problem in which that we often face is the fact that we just don't remind ourselves of that. We don't remind ourselves that God has nothing but peace, but thoughts of peace toward us. That he's seeking to give us what is best for us. You know, if we truly believe God is for us and we're fully persuaded of this fact, you know, I think we'd be able to walk straight up to the gates of hell and not be afraid. And yet, so often, we lack even the boldness to go up to a stranger and just tell them the gospel of the hope that is within us. I wonder, can we confidently say, you know what? I am fully persuaded that my God is actually for me. And if he truly is for me, then who can be against me? Second reason I want us to see why we can be persuaded of Christ's love for us is in actually just the following verse, 32. The Bible says this, "And he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he then with him also freely give us all things?" Now, the second reason we can be so confident and we can be persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of our God is the fact that he was willing to give it up all for us. Now, I see these reefs that are laid here. And tomorrow, I imagine most of us will be waking up early tomorrow, or at least sometime tomorrow, in order to remember those who've given their lives in times past. You know, we'll remember those who died in our place. We will remember those who we would say, you know what, they loved their country. And I think for some of us, we might even, in our spirit, we might be just a little bit stirred up about that. Some of us might even become emotional over the fact that brave men and women were willing to lay down their lives and die so that we can enjoy the things that we do today. But how much greater of a sacrifice did our Lord make? Are we living, remembering what he did for us with that same sort of feeling in us? Are we remembering what he has done for us? Or are we just simply letting it fall away? You know, Christ, God, was willing to become flesh for us. You know, he who knew no sin became sin for us. He endured the death of the cross and rose again as victor over it. You know, what greater evidence is there for Christ's love than if we just simply remember what he actually did for us on that cross? Third thing I want us to see here tonight is in the following verse, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Third thing I want us to do, third reason we can be persuaded of Christ's love for us is the fact that Christ justified us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You know, who is it that can say we're unworthy because we've committed evil? It is God that justifieth. You know, it is our God that has justified us, that has judged us and declared us righteous and therefore acceptable before our holy God. You know, Christ didn't just die on our behalf. He made us holy even as he is holy. He made us righteous before the throne of grace so that we can come boldly and be justified by the blood of our Lord Jesus. Fourthly, I want us to see that Christ intercedes for us. Verse 34, the Bible says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know, Christ intercedes on our behalf. Now, who is he that condemns us? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who maketh intercession for us. You know, we can be persuaded in Christ's love for us every single time we bow our heads and pray, because it's Christ that stands between us and the throne of God so that we don't have to do it ourselves. You know, I think about in the Old Testament when the scripture talks about the Holy of Holies and how a high priest would have to once a year go into that place and under fear of death come into the presence of Almighty God. You know, I couldn't even imagine having to do that. I can't even imagine the terror, the fear that would be in me as a wicked, sinful, evil man to come into the very presence of a holy God. You know what? If not for anything else, we ought to be just so thankful that Christ intercedes for us, that he goes in on our behalf. That, you know, I can come broken just before the throne of God, knowing that I will be accepted because of him. You know, we should be overcome with confidence in Christ for what he's done and what he continues to do for us, so that we shouldn't have any excuse why we can't serve him. And I believe, church, that if we just put these four things in remembrance, we could say, you know what, I am fully persuaded that Christ is for us, that Christ died for us, that Christ has justified us, and Christ intercedes for us. And then we'd be able to confidently say, as Paul, I am persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And more than that, but that our lives might actually reflect that truth. And the things that we do, the places that we go and the people that we speak to, that they might see that in us. Now let us be a church tonight that is fully persuaded. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for your goodness. Father, I thank you for your Son, Lord, who was willing to die in our place. Father, I pray you just impress upon our hearts, Lord, tonight, Lord, the things that you've done for us. Lord, your goodness. And Father, I pray you just convict us to remember you And Lord, I pray in that remembrance, Lord, that we would be changed, and Lord, that we would serve you with all of our lives. And on this we pray in your holy name. Amen.